Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast. Today is November 10th.
Yep.
Sadly, I know that because Nike opening up a new store in Soho today.
Okay.
So I'm on my materialistic shit right now.
Okay.
I ain't make it down there, but it's supposed to be
Speaking
nice.
Speaking of which, let me order these.
Yeah, I'm going to go down there tomorrow.
I gotta get these Victor Cruz joints.
Tomorrow's Veterans Day.
Which I don't think really counts for anybody except banks and schools.
Yeah, but I just want to say, you know, peace to obviously to all the veterans and everyone who's put their life on the line for the country, you know. Yeah, but banks and schools are the only things closed officially, right?
Federal? There's some corporate companies.
Trading.
There's some corporate
companies. There's no trading tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I don't think but there's some corporate offices that close down and stuff like that. But mostly, it's if you follow banking holidays, you...
That's what you know.
Yeah, you get. You normally, this is what they give you for floating holidays.
Yeah.
Most companies give you like two floating
holidays.
Yeah,
this one in Columbus.
You kind of use those.
Yeah, presidents too sometimes. Yeah. So I because I didn't even know it was Veterans Day until about a half hour ago.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was like, "Y'all off tomorrow?" And I was like, "Off for what? What you talking about?"
Yeah.
So you know, peace to that. Obviously, like a lot has happened this week.
Yeah.
Y'all want to start with it? Y'all want to end with it?
Nah, we could start with it. Go and get this shit out the way.
So the election happened. We have a new president-elect.
America is so stupid.
Sadly, that president-elect is Donald Trump.
I still can't believe that shit is real.
I can't believe it. Did you see today when he met with Prezo?
Today's the
Prezo was looking at him like...
And he was bemused. He was like, "Y'all want to play like this for real? Okay,
like,
whatever."
This your man? This, yeah. Like, he literally was on like, this your man right here?
So, here's the thing. I knew once Donald Trump clinched the primary, I was nervous for him winning. But coming out of the polls over the past month or so made me feel more comfortable that Hillary would win.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it would be close.
Yeah, right? I thought it would be close.
And I mean, technically, she did win the popular vote. So
mm-hmm.
I thought it would be close.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw those returns coming in, and it looked like a more and more narrow margin, because I kept saying, no, she'll be fine. The liberal states report later. It's fine.
Yeah.
And like, the margin kept like widening between them.
And
there was
sudden,
a slimmer and slimmer
like,
chance of her winning.
And they get like, West Virginia, Trump. Missouri,
yeah.
Trump.
Right.
Oklahoma, Trump. I was like, oh.
When Trump got Pennsylvania, I was like, it's fucking
yeah. And
over.
Florida.
And Florida. Because they thought Hillary was going to get Florida,
yeah.
You know? Because I was like, okay, if Hillary can pull out Florida, we're still good.
That's when I checked out.
Yeah. And once they called. So when I saw, because I was watching MSNBC, and they didn't
Me
call
too.
Pennsylvania for Trump until late, but other networks are
already calling it already.
So when I saw that, I was like, let me just... And right before I went to bed, I had turned off the TV. It was like 2:30. I turned off the TV, but when the last time I looked at my phone, between the time I turned off the television and last time I looked at my phone before I went to bed, I saw Trump declared president. And I just... Like, I had to hold back tears during the whole course of the night, because first I was trying not to freak out.
Yeah.
Because I was about to legit freak
mm-hmm.
out. Like, what the fuck? And I was trying not to do that. And it was just also like I still don't think I've really processed it. Like I'm better today
yeah.
than I was yesterday.
But it ain't
but even
processed.
When you Yeah, but even when you look at like the people he's appointing to his transition team
Yo.
And the people like they're all like the skeeviest, most marginalized, couldn't get a legit look anywhere else. And like he's bringing all these motherfuckers to the table, and it's so scary because it's giving people who never got any airtime, like real credibility, like
yeah.
the Breitbarts of the world and the people who subscribe to these philosophies and people in politics or in business who otherwise had already been like cast aside, like, yo, we're not fucking with you.
Yeah.
He's like, no, come in.
That's really
scary.
That's what's shaking me up is when I'm looking at his potential cabinet and you see the scumbag piece of shit Rudy Giuliani possible
as attorney general when we're trying to push for criminal justice reform? Are you kidding me?
Piece of shit Newt Gingrich possible secretary of state.
Carson.
The head of education. Ben Carson.
Basically the surgeon general.
Ben Carson. This nigga who I'm like, yo.
That's the only thing he's even remotely qualified.
But then you look at, you know, and it's like you, and I'm still just shook because I'm thinking about all his minions, like, you know, Katrina Pearson and those other ones that have been on TV, or Corey Landowski
going
ham. They gonna get slots.
Yeah,
in some kind of way, they all gonna get, you know, paid up for all their bullshit. Man. And they're, like you said, they're horrendous, horrific, hateful people, man. And this is what he's gonna be surrounding himself with.
Yeah,
and it's like. Nobody, maybe, I don't know, maybe this the Kellyanne lady, but, like, nobody around him is, like, saying, yo, you literally are playing right into Putin's hands. Because he's, Putin's looking about, like, bet. He's
Putin elected. Already sent him a congratulatory telegraph yesterday.
Mad unrest around the country, people demonstrating in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Oakland, Atlanta, everywhere. People were demonstrating yesterday, and I think it's going to keep going. And now you're going to appoint a cabinet that's horrendous, and which is going to cause more chaos. Mike Pence is going to defund Planned Parenthood, which is going to body all those women who played themselves by voting for this.
Well, that's the crazy. So let's pause there. So I've read two numbers, 58% or 66%. But either way, over 50% of white women voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Trump and Pence do not give a fuck about you.
At all. Rural America.
Like, clearly, you have not seen, you've not looked at Pence's record at all. Here's the real. Trump ain't going to last the whole term.
You don't think?
No, because A, Trump is still under federal investigation. He's still got a trial for this rape case. There's no way some more shit doesn't come up on him. His financials, like all the shit
Democrats
that he,
gonna
all the shit
the
that he was able
now.
To get away with as a candidate. You're the fucking sitting president of you.
So you think now he's gonna have to put his taxes out?
I think now there's gonna be a deeper dive into his financials. You know what I mean?
By the way, just to say, going to that financials thing.
Yeah.
Somebody, I forget who, but one of the Russian cats said today that they was in touch with his campaign the whole time. They said they were talking. We talked to them. We know all the people around him. We talked to them regularly during this whole campaign.
Yeah, of course they were. And I mean, I fully believe that. Here's the thing, though. I don't believe Trump's going to last the full term. Because I also just don't believe he's built for the job.
Was sitting next to Prezo today, he was looking like...
He looked shook. He looked like holy shit. Because
you know what it looked like to me? And again, I'm totally projecting, as we always
like
say.
He finally really, like, he finally was like, oh shit, now I got to do this.
Because
shit.
He sat down with Prezo, he said, for about almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I think Prezo, being a smooth, slick cat that
he is,
was
fooling him on some shit.
He was like, yo, let me, you, all that shit you was talking, let me tell you how this shit really works. Let me give you a quick 90-minute crash course.
Right.
And he broke a lot of shit down, and I think Trump was like, word. I didn't know that's what... I thought I was coming here, like you said, be the CEO.
Yeah.
Just appoint people, chill out, take pictures, and go play golf. And he's like, nah, B.
I don't even know if it was that straightforward. I think a couple things happened. The first thing is, today was the first time Trump and Obama ever met.
Ever.
For all that shit. So, I think that Trump probably went in there super humbled.
Trump's a bitch. Because every time he confronts somebody, is in front of somebody who he should have saved in Mexico, he shrinks.
He shrinks.
Then when he gets away, then he talks like Friday. Like,
when he leaves, I'll be talking again. And I promise you that Obama, because he's just so gracious and level-headed, wasn't riled up about Trump coming in. Because I know the news was like, this has to be awkward for both of them. I wanted to be like, it ain't awkward for Obama.
I wouldn't.
I know Obama was probably sitting there like, yeah.
I left that motherfucker dead in the lobby with some old stale ass peanuts. And I strutted past his ass like he wasn't there, like George Jefferson.
That's what you do.
Fuck that.
But I'm sure.
Not meeting him, B.
I'm sure Obama was gracious to the point where it almost made Trump uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's probably where the subtle schooling came in. Like, yeah. So let's talk about your transition with your cabinet. Let's talk about your security briefings. Let me let you know about some. And like, just was dropping
what's
little shit
really
on him
going on
that
in
made
Syria.
Trump kind of like.
What's really going on in Russia?
Oh shit! And you saw it. For those who didn't see the press conference, because there's an image that's floating around when he and Obama were about to shake hands, and if you just looked at that, you would have thought that Obama was like grilling him the whole time. But the actual press conference, Obama was really fucking congenial.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he was like, whatever. And apparently, it was only supposed to be a 15-minute meeting, and they met for 90 minutes, which means there was some real talking happening.
Yeah.
But Trump was like, "I look forward to getting his counsel." Trump kept saying he's a good man.
He better not pick up the phone. I'm fucking sick of that shit. I'm sick of him with the fucking congeniality. Fuck him. Fuck him.
Hit the decline button.
Decline. All that. Block. Delete.
I say all of this to say I believe Trump is somber right now.
So how long do you think he lasts?
Well, that's the thing. Is he either by him resigning or by he getting so thick that he really just can't stand the scrutiny. Maybe some midterms. I don't know. But the thing is that doesn't give me any comfort because Pence is a monster.
Yeah, he's almost worse.
I think he lasts the 4 years, but I think it's going to be tumultuous. It's going to be a lot of turmoil. Obviously, we saw last night how the markets began to react, and they sort of rebounded.
But they rebounded.
But they rebounded
once people saw, oh, Trump ain't going to show his ass.
I think that was a very clear indication of what the next 4 years will be.
Yeah.
These sort of swings, these ups and downs and significant ebbs and flows in the markets. I mean, he is talking about complete upheaval of trade negotiations, complete upheaval of all sorts of tax codes. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that's going to affect. We don't know how the repeal of the Obamacare, because that's coming. So if you niggas been putting off surgery, y'all better go tomorrow.
Y'all better go get it.
Go see the dentist.
There is no LOL on that.
I am
being as serious as possible. Like, I don't think people understand the ramifications because a lot of us are fairly young and still healthy. And only, like, we're at the sort of age where health is of a priority.
Yep.
And we understand the significance and importance of healthcare because we've seen hospital bills.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? And if you've never seen a hospital bill, like, let me explain something to you. My daughter got a tetanus shot. She had a bad reaction to a tetanus shot.
Okay.
She had to spend the night in the hospital. It was $3,700.
Just for her to spend
one night. Wow. One night in the hospital, dude.
With no extra shit, just laying there.
When she was born, I saw the full printout of all of everything from the hospital.
And
everything that took place.
How much?
$28,000.
Wow, for a night?
For having a birth.
That's 12 years ago.
Listen to what I'm telling you. The fact that these companies are not able to decline your health care for existing issues may not be significant when you're 25. It will be significant when you're 35. It will be significant when you're 37 and when you're 40.
Mm-hmm.
I assure you, this is not some shit that you want to have. Like, I promise you, go to the doctor. Whatever you can get done right now, get it done.
Yeah, before the shit go left.
Well, and here's the thing, right? So, in talking about the repeal of Obamacare, that's not the only thing that's on the table. Because, of course, we have one vacant Supreme Court seat, Scalia's seat.
Mm-hmm.
We have three justices. She's 83. We have three justices in their 80s.
She's older.
Okay. We have three justices in their 80s, though. So, anything could fucking happen.
So, who's
right?
raised her?
I don't remember who I was about. I just know we have
damn near everybody but Clarence and Sotomayor.
So, you know, fuck around. There could be four open fucking seats on the Supreme Court. And so this was my issue, right? There's a lot of factors here. There's the white women. There's the secret white college educated white men. There's the electoral college versus the popular vote. There's the third party vote. But then there's these motherfuckers. And I'm not just talking about black people, because a lot of people think I'm talking about black people. Us liberal-ass, high-minded-ass, intelligent, want to debate everything, stand-on-principle-ass people who didn't support Hillary, who were like, well, I'm not going to go vote. Or, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein.
I'm going to vote for votes.
I'm going to fucking write in Bernie. I'm going to write in my goddamn
Hennessy
cat. Yeah, like
Harambe. Like, Hennessy got like a couple thousand votes.
Yeah, and thinking it doesn't make a difference. And I think, and had Brexit not happened, I might have even been like, okay, y'all ain't know no better. But we fucking saw Brexit happen.
Less than a year ago.
Less than a fucking year. And it was the same shit. It was people, because I was arguing with people earlier this year about splitting the vote. And all this other stuff. And people were like, you don't know that third party voting will hurt Hillary Clinton. And you can't say that. And you don't know that. And you're making assumptions. And split. Like, people talk about splitting the vote like it's an urban myth. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers weren't here in 2000. Y'all clearly weren't here. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I'm telling you. I'm frustrated now because I really, in my heart of hearts, believe that little fucking Chastity, who just fucking graduated from, you know, Sarah Lawrence and voted for and wrote Bernie in anyway.
Yeah.
Because that was Gary what she Johnson believed. Because I saw some little white girl and she was like, there's another choice, people. I voted for Jill Stein. Guess what, Becky? Jill Stein ain't president. And then my thing is like, I'm sorry, Sean. Let me finish one thing. For black people, you mad Hillary ain't addressed Black Lives Matter. We're about to have the fucking king of stop and frisk put up for attorney general. You mad that Hillary didn't address proper like education and jobs in the black community? If you don't think they're putting affirmative action on the chopping block as soon as they get those SCOTUS seats up in there, you are absolutely mistaken. Like, and for women, if you were feeling like Hillary didn't identify closely enough with you, Planned Parenthood, fucking out of here. Roe versus Wade might be fucking out of here. Yeah. Like, seriously. Pence, like, this shit is serious.
You know, Pence in Indiana, he's so foul. He was charging women. He was making women pay for a funeral for fetuses that they aborted. He was making them pay for a funeral.
She is crazy.
Like, he's a crazy man, you know?
Well,
he's terrible.
I think that the third party voting, and the reason that I think a lot of this was sort of identified with black people was, I think, because most of the time when we saw these articles or saw these posts, that they had sort of come from this sort of, I'm using air quotes here, the black intelligentsia, right? Which was these people who wanted to show you how much their vote mattered, right? And I would have to say, like, Mark Lamont Hill is one of the people who's really guilty of this.
Yes.
Who really perpetuated.
Advocated
for third party voting.
He was going hard for the third party?
He went very hard for third party voting. And to me, this was nothing more than vanity, right? Yep. Like, this was not about any
this
sort of
political... This was, I'm too smart to be a sheep. That's what the fuck this was.
And well, also from the candidates, though, right? Like, from the candidates, like, you know that you didn't even have a chance to be on a debate stage.
Yeah.
So this, to me, was nothing more than a vanity project for your own personal gain.
Yeah, like
this
I'm smarter than everybody
else. And this was not for the greater good of your country. Like, the presidency is about serving your country. It is not about serving yourself, which was really sort of the eye-opening thing when we have the most, you know, one of the person who does it the best, which is serving himself, is Donald Trump, is now the president, where you're utterly... You know, at the servitude of the American people.
He looks at it like he's a king.
Yes.
And I remember I saw Gary Johnson on one of the shows. All the new shows are blurring together, but one of them, last week. This was last week. And it was MSNBC. I forget. I like her too. I can't remember her name. Dang. White gal, but I like her. And she asked him straight up. She was like, "Yo, like, your percentage of votes could possibly sue your selection. Like, why have you never thought about, you know, just taking your votes and, you know,
voting for party?
Pushing them towards one or the other." And he was like, "Why would I do that? Like, I'm giving people a third choice." And I think that even we only get 6%, that's a foothold, and you know, that was something we could build on.
Well, I mean, here's the hard thing, right? In order for us to ever firmly establish a third party system, there do have to be some elections where there are larger percentage of wasted votes, right? That's the only way there's ever going to actually be a third party system. But that's going to take years and many election cycles because our Congress isn't built for it. It's not built for third party.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, this just was not the one. You know what I mean?
This wasn't the time to play.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say. You know, us Democrats, liberals are in entirely too smug in our own self-righteousness. Because the one thing Republicans did, even those motherfuckers who hate Trump, were like, "I'm voting my values, I'm voting my ticket."
Yeah.
And they didn't give a fuck about voting against Hillary instead of for Trump. And I had so many philosophical conversations with smart black motherfuckers who were like, I need to vote for, I can't vote against. And I was like, "You fucking bugging."
Well, I think a big part, too, of Hillary... with losing sort of those votes was that a lot of us, we know that this was stupid. We knew that this was not the time for your protest vote.
Right.
But we really talked down to the kids who were coming into voting.
Right.
The kids who voted for them. And one of the things I said was when I read Charles Blow's piece in the Times was that while he is correct on every aspect
about the
protest vote, how he talked
and the condescending tone and the dismissive nature in which he was telling people that, you know, this is what you need to do because X, Y, and Z, it did not feel, it didn't feel like you were bringing them into the adult conversation.
Right.
It felt like you kept saying, you're kids, you do what the fuck we say do because we know better and we've been here. Now, that's right. And he's correct, except they do get a seat at the table this time around.
Right, right.
They are not to be dismissed. They can swing this shit.
Yeah.
Right.
So
they swung it for president.
So I feel like it's vital for us to understand that, you know, putting your foot down on the side of right is not always the best way when you can and need to massage and even manipulate and even manipulate to some degree to get people to see the bigger picture.
But what's hard about that, Sean, at least trying to hit a lot of people at once, like on social media or something like that, because I try, if you have somebody that's in your midst and you can grab them and talk to them, that's one thing. But a lot of these first time voters, or people whose first time voting was for Obama, who were anti-Hillary, when you would try to have a conversation with them basically about protecting party because the last thing we wanted was Trump in office, you know, you were accused of fear-mongering, or you were called a sheep, or it was either like you were a sheep, or, oh, you just following Hillary because black people follow Clinton's, or, you know what I mean? It's just like they were insulting too. I guess that's what I'm saying. And they were trying to kind of act like, you're just not hip
enough to get it.
I wanted to be like, y'all don't fucking remember Bush Gore.
Y'all understand.
Fucking remember Bush Kerry. Like
I completely understand that. But my point is, as the adult in the room, the goal is not your personal feelings of insult. It is to get the job done. Mm-hmm. It is to accomplish the task. We all work in jobs where we deal with stupid people. People who really don't do shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the job isn't to go to a supervisor or another person. The job is to get the shit done. Hand it in. However you can.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like a part of it, you know, we kind of left on the table. Now, I'm also hearing a lot of, you know, hindsight is 2020 and a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks. Listen, everybody got this shit wrong. People who do this for a living
got it wrong.
They swung and they fucking missed. Now, we realized that this was a closer race as we got down to it that it really should have been. But I heard numbers as much as she had an 84% chance of winning this election.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really something that we have to think about on how we're going to move forward, especially since that we basically, they ran a Boston on
yeah,
us.
Right. Yeah,
they ran a Boston on us.
The House, the Senate, and the presidency.
And
time that's happened since Bush's first term, and we're still digging ourselves out of that. And the time before that was right before the Great Depression.
Yeah, right, for like 1925 or some shit like that. Like, it's crazy. So
I mean, historically, we'll take one of the branches of Congress back in midterms, because that's what happens, and that's what happened with Obama. Like we had everything for the first 2 years, and then they took
what else is irksome to me is I hate how all the Republican pundits are like, you know, trying to force everybody to say, well, let's see what he does and let's give him a chance. When Prezo was in there literally the first day,
they were blocking everything.
But now he's supposed to give Trump a chance.
Right.
And people literally, I've seen more than one person say, you know, it was just a campaign. That doesn't mean he's going to really do all this stuff. It's like, why? Like, he's been like this his whole life. He's going to be this sweet, like,
this is,
you know,
something
level-headed dude
that has fucking irked me with the Dems. Like, I am sick of the fucking high road.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm sick of y'all shit with this. We shall overcome kumbaya shit. Okay, I'm not fucking smiling with him.
Yeah.
You know what? And one of you motherfuckers better stand up when he gives his address, and you better stand up and call him a liar or say grab him by the pussy or whatever the fuck. The same way that dude got up and said you lie.
Yep.
And still has a fucking career.
Yep.
Like, I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of this nice guy shit.
Trump's hate.
I wouldn't have conceded a motherfucking thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not meeting with you.
Yeah.
Nope.
And that's why they ain't got no picture with President Michelle.
Oh yeah, they broke tradition and didn't
like,
take
nah,
a
we
didn't
good.
take a a picture with the first couple.
We good.
So traditionally, the outgoing couple takes a picture with the incoming couple. And I know Michelle and Obama was like, yeah, not. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, the Cavaliers is here. We got to go.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Brian and them is in the
back. But literally, they were. But so they was probably like, yeah, fuck, we don't have time. Yeah, we got to go.
And I want to see how these athletes respond step when they up. Go to. Well, also, when they win these championships.
They say a lot of cats are saying they ain't going.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Obama's staff when Trump was arriving.
There's like three or four.
And every one of them got their arms crossed. Yep. Valerie Jarrett is looking like fuck all this shit. Yeah, like seriously.
Her and Susan Rice, too.
Yeah, they all look mad.
Yeah, and some of them is crying like, I don't believe this motherfucker's here. Like, this shit is really happening.
It's so, guys, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's so fucked up. It's so, okay, it's the first time ever that we've elected someone not only who had no military service, but no public service at all.
Nothing.
No, like he has no.
Like he ain't no better suited for the shit than like anybody in this room.
Yeah, seriously, literally.
Like he just, you know, he
literally, actually, yeah. like actually, I might be better suited because I clearly know more about some of us because we all clearly know more about how the fucking the government works.
Yeah.
I've at least been president of a couple things. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like I've said before.
Been as SGA.
Yeah, shit.
I collect the money down.
I was a treasurer at the SGA.
I know how to run a meeting.
But what I'm, like I said before, he's not bright.
No.
He's not.
Yeah.
And this will continue to show. This will continue to expose. I know that he, and the worst thing about that guy, the worst thing about the guy who's not bright is when he thinks he's the smartest one in the room. Right? Yeah. So he's going to go in there and he's going to walk into these rooms with the sheikhs and they'll have on their headdresses and their traditional garbs and he's going to think he's
going to be trying to do business.
He's so hell bent on thinking he's getting ready to muscle Mexico into building that wall and you're going to have another fucking thing coming,
bro.
Yeah.
It's like motherfucker, like we went to Harvard and stuff too. Like it's
we're educated too. Like we're hip to this game. Yeah. Like we have economists over here
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
Like we're not some fucking dumb.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that because this man knows nothing, it's so easy for him to be manipulated by the people who are around him. Especially
and that's
now.
What's scary.
The campaign was one thing because he thought his way was the right way. I firmly believe that now that he's actually in office, he's going to completely give up the reins to the people around him. So that means Brannon, the Breitbart dude.
Yep.
That means, you know, that means fucking Christie.
Yep.
That means Giuliani. Pence. That means all of them. Like, he's like, people, all these other
basically,
people.
Basically, yo, do what you want to do, man.
Yeah, because he does not have his own mind. He's just going to be like, he's going to be looking at them like, what should
we'll
I do?
See. We'll
what
see.
Should I do? And that shit is just.
The only thing we could do, man, like I did, I went to bed. I was like, I'll wake up and whoever the fuck is the president is the president. Ain't shit else I can do right now about it.
And I hold the media largely responsible for a lot of this. Because if all last year, when everybody was kikiing and ha-ha, and oh, Trump said this, Trump did that.
Covering him all day, every day.
Covering him all day, every day. Like a joke, though. Covered him. Didn't press him for any of the dumb shit, but meanwhile asking real questions on
all the real politicians,
right? If he had been positioned, because he was positioned as a like Trump's here for entertainment.
A laughing stock. Yeah, exactly.
This is great TV, right? And by the time motherfuckers are being like, oh shit, wait, it was too late.
It was too late. They
come in and had he been positioned as a serious candidate from the jump and scrutinized as a serious candidate from the jump,
he wouldn't have gotten
the nomination.
He was judged. He was covered. And he was approached with a curve that has never been seen in politics.
Right.
Yeah.
He was given leeway that would not be acceptable in any other form of business or political office.
Right.
I remember seeing people in the summertime on the news show saying, all the reason he has to leave now is because it's summer and people are not paying attention and everybody's on vacation. Once September comes, everybody will get back to business as usual and he'll be over.
Nope.
And then September
Well, first
came,
of all, he only has to leave because it's the primaries. Yeah. Once he gets the nomination, it'll be different. And, we were guilty of it, too. We were like, nah, once he gets to the debates, he can't. And honestly, how many times in this man's campaign, I don't even remember, did he do something where we were like, oh, it's got to be over. Like,
he showed.
Every fucking time.
But they showed.
They showed right to today. is, you know, what, you know, black and brown and red and you know, yeah, I guess yellow might be a slur, but
right.
Asian people have been saying in this country forever is, you know, white privilege.
And they're
right.
Yeah.
And right now,
and mediocre white privilege.
And right now, they're still doing it. Like, oh, he's going to be fine. Give him a chance. It's like,
listen, it's utterly ridiculous. It's ridiculous that he got 8% of the black vote. It's ridiculous that he got about 29% of the fucking Hispanic vote. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just ridiculous. And I read one article where a lady was like, she voted because she voted for Trump, didn't think he was going to win, but voted for Trump, and basically was like, it was because of the Clinton's administration in like the 90s on immigration. Mm-mm. And this is another thing when you talked about the black male vote.
Yeah.
So this is another thing that's very interesting, which is...
Oh, yeah, I didn't say on air. 14% of black men voted for Trump. 14%
of black, 14% of black men voted for Trump. And I think that there is a connection, although small, but I think there's a connection with the Hispanic vote. I think we actually do...
Latinos who identify as white definitely voted for Trump.
Well, not just that, because it was 29%. Like, that's a large number, right? Like, but for me, I think we have to remember that they are largely conservative.
Right, they are conservative.
They are conservative people. Mm-hmm. And there is a, I've got mine, and I don't give a fuck about how you get yours feel. Right? So a lot of these Latinos, they're finding out now, are pro-wall.
Yeah, because it's like, we already here.
We're good.
Yeah.
But they also feel like Mexicans are beneath them. So also, they're like, we're here, we don't want y'all.
And we went through the proper channels.
Right.
We went through the proper channels. We did this. Excuse me.
Well, also, if they're Puerto Rican, they're like, we're American.
But the proper challenge shit is kind of bullshit, because a lot of Cubans didn't go to the proper challenge. They came up here on boats.
But
they've been here for 30 years.
But I think we're also looking at Puerto Ricans, because I think one of the points of view I think that we have as New Yorkers that some people in the rest of the country don't have is like even the division between Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and Puerto Ricans and like other people of Latino descent, right? Because they're kind of like, we're American. We don't know what's going on. You know what I mean?
So I think that's
part of it. The conservatism is part of it. One of my friends said that a very close family friend or family member actually like gave her a chart, and I reposted it. That was that just without the candidates' names at the top, just went by what the party supports and doesn't support in terms of like abortion, gay marriage, and stuff like that. And they're like, I voted my values. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't vote for Trump. I voted against gay marriage. I voted against abortion.
I sure hope your values would be okay when fucking Duquan get pulled over or stopped and frisk, and he's, you know, doing fucking 5 years for a nickel bag of weed.
Yeah, because that's happening. Because
suspended license.
Because not only is he trying to appoint Giuliani, it was just announced today that Trump appointed to his transition team the senator from Arizona who wrote the bill that gave the police the right to stop anybody brown
and ask
for their
the
papers
ID.
On site. Yeah. This is part of Trump. These men is part of Trump's campaign.
So give him a break. I don't know what to say, man.
Shit.
Fuck him.
So, yeah. Pray
anybody who voted for him. Yeah, fuck y'all, too.
Pray for America, man. So, moving on. Ugh. I went to see Moonlight other night.
Oh, how was it?
It was really good. It's a very quiet movie. It's not a lot of, like, the lead... It's broken into three parts. It's almost like a play. But the main character, I bet he probably didn't have more than three pages of dialogue for the film.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't speak much at all. But you still obviously got what was going on. But like, you know, and this is, for those who know, it's a story about this kid who grows up in Liberty City, Miami, and to a drug addicted mom. And he's also dealing with the fact that he's homosexual and trying to deal with that while living in the hood and trying to figure it out. But it's not really, I mean, there's obviously like, there's, you know, homosexual things in the movie, but it's not necessarily like a gay movie, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not no graphic sex or nothing like that, you know, it's just like about him trying to figure out like who he is and, you know, and in a weird quirky way, there's a love story element to it as well. I mean, I almost spoiled the film, but I definitely see why people like it. Is going to get a ton of nominations come Oscar time, like a ton. Went to the theater. I went to the theater up in Westchester. It's only, you know, still only showing. It's not wide yet. So I went to like one of those indie theaters. It probably was 10 black folks. Right. The rest was all white. So it's one of those movies that the white folks is like, oh yeah, you know, this is a black movie that, you know, it's, but it's kind of highbrow.
Yeah, because it's been really highly critically acclaimed, but that explains it, because the trailers are really ambiguous.
Yeah.
And I guess if there's not a lot of dialogue, that explains it.
Yeah, but when you see them, you'll see, you understand. But it's like these long, just like spaces of like quiet. The movies, especially the third act, a lot of it is very quiet. It was interesting how they did a movie like that, because obviously most movies, especially nowadays, it's, you know, action and boom, boom, boom. It's nonstop noise, and this should have like almost no noise. But I definitely would, you know, recommend to go see it. I mean, before Oscar time,
right?
Because it's going to get a lot of nominations. You should see what it's about. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to, I guess, mention. I just wanted to say peace to Solange, because she killed Saturday Night Live last week. Did two songs, Cranes and
Don't Touch My Hair.
Don't Touch My Hair.
With Sampha.
Really felt like it was like a, you know, a coming out for her.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, first time. Agreed. Probably her first national performance, right?
I think so.
National TV performance, and you know, the band was there, and it was interesting. It was very avant. It was like Alvin Ailey mixed with funk band.
Yeah,
because it was like very Alvin Ailey, but then sometimes
they'd be doing like
they'd be doing like little steps with the guitars and shit. She sounded great, so she's killed it. And this week is Dave Chappelle and Tribe.
And Tribe, whose album comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, album comes out tomorrow. I haven't heard a note, so
which
I don't
I'm
know
excited about.
How it's gonna be. I'm but gonna buy it, yeah, a lot of people. I think the album's gonna do well. Mm. You know, all things
I think so. Yeah,
it seems like there's a lot of demand for it. I'm happy for them. I wanted to. We should talk about Real Housewives
of Atlanta
and Married to the Medicine, which premiered both premiered on
I can't
Sunday
believe
night.
I didn't watch Married to Medicine.
You're not really with Married to the Medicine.
First of all, it's not Married to the Medicine. You think about Married to the Mob.
I gotta throw the extra
Married
shit
to the Medicine.
Married to the
Mob. You know, Uncle Junior over here.
Yeah.
Married to the Medicine. What that show come on after the NeNe show?
You put an S after the in the Walmart. Came Walmart.
Walmart.
With a K.
Walmart and all that.
Yeah, I don't watch Married to Medicine because, I mean, I watched the first season and I think I tried to watch the second season, but I just don't find those women that interesting, frankly.
Yeah.
I just don't. And or their storylines or whatever.
I think
the fact that you don't really see them, aside from the doctor, Dr. Jackie, who pops up on other shows, the fact that you don't really see those women off season.
You know what's interesting is like,
locally, I'm sure people do, but you know.
Yeah, but even on the show, I know the first season, they showed the ones who were doctors, because, let's see, Heavenly, Jackie, Simone, those are the woman doctors. The other ones are married to doctors.
Right.
They showed them more earlier in the series actually working.
Right.
Now,
it's all the personal shit?
Yes, except for Dr. Jackie. She's always...
Right.
They always show her in her office.
Yeah, she probably made sure of that shit.
Yeah.
So, I don't watch them.
But the Real Housewives.
But
what
I watch
think
Real Housewives
that?
Of Atlanta. It's amazing how long they've gotten these house storylines to stretch out.
Wow.
It's fucking incredible. Like,
Sheree should have stretched with a smooth 5 years, probably?
I will give Sheree credit though, because it's not like Sheree's been steadily earning like any kind of real check.
How did she pay for this?
I think that's why she says she's doing it with no help. That's why it took so long. She probably had to hire 82 different contracting crews.
She probably owed all kind of money.
Yeah,
Mr. Earl and them from the Lowe's.
With the bacon,
she got
migrant
workers.
With
the carpet and the pants.
I'm gonna get digging holes to come by in front of the church and do my electrical. You know he worked for the city.
He worked for the
city. 47 years.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Georgia Power.
Because even what we saw on the show was her having somebody come in to finish off some work that her.
Yeah.
So she probably had some people come in to do this section.
But I mean, it's a big ass house.
And then a couple years later, had somebody do another.
Let me say, 10,000 square feet.
That's retarded, son.
Is a massive home.
From the ground up. A spec house.
10,000 square feet is two large homes.
Right.
Like, that is a massive... So forget the fact, just from a cost perspective, to give you guys some idea, like, it will probably... You're going to need, for 10,000 square feet, easily 4, maybe 5 air units.
Right.
I was about to ask you, how much you think it'll cost to cool that?
$30,000 a year, easily.
To cool it or heat it?
Just... in power, it's going to be roughly $30,000 a year. Because even if you have, even if you're living only in certain quarters of the house, right? Like, there's still, the home is so big, like, you can't, if it's cold outside, like, you can't just turn your heat off. Like, you still have to make sure your pipes aren't frozen.
Yeah.
That is a lot of, that's a lot of property to maintain, to constantly be on top of.
Like, plus the landscaping.
Home, right.
Your home, really, that's a house that is should be required. Normally, people with 10,000 square feet homes either have a full-time sort of home manager.
Right.
Because usually the people who can afford those homes aren't also going to the Whole Foods, right? Like, so you need someone to ensure that your home is
stocked.
Make sure you're there. Also, make sure you're there for vendors, packages being delivered.
Yeah, true.
There is always a project.
Yeah.
And I know for me, I have to break my projects up into years, right? So this year is, you know, with bathroom and driveway.
Right.
Next year is redo the kitchen.
Okay.
The year after that is, you know, redo, you know, build something outside. Mm-hmm. Like, so you have to break that down. And most of my neighbors do that. Mm-hmm. Like, they sort of break their houses down into, and we're not nearly in a house that size.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nene has grown adult children. I mean, I'm sorry, Nene. Sheree has grown adult
children. Yes, right. I understand.
And I understand. Listen, I understand.
What do you need the space for?
Because I think that this is about...
Well, in fairness, when she started the house, the motherfuckers were both still in middle school and high school, but still.
Even still, even if she was still with Bob, that's four of them, right?
Because I don't even remember ever, like, seeing Sheree's mom like that or anything.
No. I think they still live in Ohio. I don't think they're in Atlanta. So, like, even if there was the four of them, Bob and the two
it's
children.
It's still too much house.
It's craziness.
That's like, I don't want a house that big. I don't want to be responsible.
Well, not even, I mean, I understand.
Oh, I
understand.
Do you know how much it costs to furnish a house that big?
I understand. That's what I was also getting ready to say. I understand. I mean, really, if you're talking about 10,000 square feet and you're talking about probably, you know, mid-level to high-end furniture, you could easily be looking at $250,000
You can't even just go to Crate and Barrel.
No, because you have to get when you have rooms that size, you actually have to get custom pieces. You have to go get custom furniture made
to fill it.
This sort of design and your layout and things of that nature. So yeah, that's a lot of work. And listen, if she wants to do it, it's her money by all means. But there is no way that I could see myself with the overload of inventory that places like Atlanta has.
That's what I didn't get.
That right. To just go out
just
and
go
just
get a foreclosure or a short sale.
You can go do that. You can get a place where you can knock out walls. Maybe you throw, you know, $150,000 into a project or a building that's already standing.
Why are you building?
I can't imagine what the permits have been.
Oh my God.
If you have permits, you know, it has everything been, you know, is the city inspector going to come by and say, this needs to be rewired?
Yeah, of course.
That's a lot.
That's a lot,
listen,
man.
God bless.
And then Kenya just, I guess hopefully the house is finished now, but Kenya decided to throw a housewarming party on this first episode with open wiring and, like, the plugs, the sockets ain't finished, driveway ain't done. Like, what?
That driveway is a hazard. I hope she got insurance.
Not only that, that driveway is going to buckle.
Mm.
Let me...
I
don't want to get too... I don't want to go into Bob Vila.
Home expert.
Home improvement.
Home safety.
With a driveway like that, first of all...
She lives
in a low plane.
Yeah, exactly.
So what that water's means is that water will saturate there.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta is no longer like this place where it's just 70 degrees even in the winter, right? It gets cold.
Yeah, and it rains a lot.
What happens is when you see a lot of the potholes in places like New York and stuff like that, it's because the water seeps into the concrete, it seeps into the tar,
mm-hmm.
and when it freezes, it contracts.
Yeah.
Right. When it warms up, it expands, mm-hmm. and that's how you get those big old potholes.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's on a downslope.
Crazy.
And they never laid the proper graveling. They just
put the blacktop.
They just put it on top of the dirt
and lay it on down there. So there's no
way.
She ain't got enough for that gravel.
The water flows through the gravel when it's
and that's what kind of stops it.
Exactly.
And that's what happens when you get migrant workers.
And also in Atlanta, what
and
happens
no
a lot.
And
yeah,
no
yeah, because you know that was whining them definitely from the lows.
Yeah.
But also, what happens in Atlanta a lot is they get ice.
Black ice.
And that hill that she's on is almost like a roller coaster. Right. That hill goes down. I'm like, yo, God bless you trying to either go down
or come up.
and that hill and some ice.
Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a, you know, listen, she has a, it's a great looking home.
Yeah, but again, it's really big for one person. Like,
it's to me, it's ridiculous. And I feel like these homes, both of these homes, are really just a part of the show in the sense that I need to be this person. Yeah, I need to be this person. Especially with sort of the way they shitted on Cynthia and where she lived when
Cynthia, I like Cynthia in Peter's house.
They're probably that's right for them, right? Yeah. Like that kid is getting ready to go off to college.
Yeah,
and
daughter's getting ready to leave out Peter's there. Kids is grown. Peter's so kid, what the hell we need all this shit for?
You need all that space for? And who cutting all this grass and all that?
Exactly.
And again, you're talking about close to $100,000 a year maintenance between heat and cooling,
crazy.
Landscaping. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, that's a lot of fucking, like, y'all ain't spring chickens, man.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Y'all, it's finna be a wrap. Well, actually, I don't know if anybody told y'all.
Yeah.
All right.
But also with Cynthia and, with Sheree and especially with Kenya, like you said, with the landscaping shit and all that, like, ain't no man around. Kenya ain't got no man. I mean, Sheree keep acting like Bob ain't around, even though he has a closet. What nigga got a closet in the house?
When she was saying that's his closet, it's because it literally is called his and hers closets.
I thought she meant it was Bob's closet.
I can see why it sounds like that, but they're literally called his and hers closet. So that's why she was saying that. But
Bob probably got a little drawing there, though.
He got a little something there. Yeah, but he got sneakers under the bed. You know what I'm saying? I get Sheree this. Look, Sheree, to her credit, one thing that she did that I got to respect, and maybe I'm sounding a little chauvinist for this, but if she was getting a little D on the side where her and Bob was going on, she kept that shit super low.
Right.
She didn't bring no men on the show. It was no men around her children.
And she definitely, obviously,
she still really loves Bob and looks like they might end up working it out long term and getting back together. Like, I appreciated her not just. Because she's a good-looking gal now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure niggas was pushing up on her.
She did have somebody on the show once.
She did?
Yeah.
But it wasn't light. It was real light.
I also remember she was gone from the show for 2 seasons.
Yeah, it was not. She had a dude on there, but it was light. It wasn't nothing real.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, we had Phaedra talking about she's divorced now from...
She's almost divorced from Apollo. She's trying to get back out in the dating field. Phaedra's a tough one.
And now her and Portia's tight. Super
tight.
Yeah,
they freaking fracked. Don't move out this bitch.
Yeah.
Phaedra, boo, listen. Stop wearing bodycon dresses. It's time. Yeah,
it might be.
It's time.
As a man, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to keep it to myself.
As a woman who easily fluctuates two sizes up and down every year, off and on, through the course of a year, I feel comfortable saying to Phaedra, boo boom. No, stop. Yeah. Stop it. And hanging out with Portia ain't helping.
The thing is, you still going to line up now to get that extra hug.
Oh, yeah, no. I ain't say Phaedra can't get no play.
Yeah.
It's just that she just needs to be maybe not dressing clothes as formal.
Well, this is the other thing. She's auntie status, and she don't want to be. It's okay, but you're auntie. You come, and you got your shoes and your big purse.
The water arms are on the way. It's okay.
You did your thing when you was young.
And honestly, I just want to say this. They never look really comfortable to me. I have to be honest.
What do you mean?
They always
overdressed.
I peeped on this week's episode.
Portia can't walk in her shoes, and I was like, She can't. It's too much.
Yeah. It's so high fashion.
It's too much.
It's too much.
So you were going to the store. Like, what are we doing?
You came over to Phaedra's house. Why are you wearing six inch pumps and a tight dress?
Like, put on your sweats.
The kids is over there.
And they chilling.
Like, what are you doing? You're drinking lemonade.
You're carrying an empty Chanel bag that's very, and I could tell it was empty because the bottom of the, like, you know, when you fold the bag up, the bottom of the bag was kind of like, like, it had nothing in it. So you're carrying an empty Chanel bag. Yeah, you're carrying an empty Chanel bag.
Listen, guys, honestly, if the Rolls, we really nitpicking here, but whatever. We had to just do some shit after that lecture talk.
Yeah.
If the Rolls Royce is her only car, she's playing herself because she's putting wild miles
right.
on that
and
car.
Wear and tear
and
on
when
that
it
car,
comes
yeah.
time for Mr. Man to take that car back, and I'm not talking about the African, I'm talking about the actual dealer.
Right.
They're going to be like, you got 30,000 miles on this Rolls Royce. Dudes be bringing Rolls Royces back with like $5,000 on them.
Peace. Right. Pristine.
Pristine. Like, you ain't supposed to be driving that shit all day.
It's not
all
an everyday
day,
car.
No, yeah, it's not your no, sir. Yeah. That mileage and those type of cars, that really devalues the car.
Yeah.
Even if
well,
it looks
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
So, like, the way she drives, and she lives way out.
Right.
So, when she's driving yeah. back and forth.
Put 100 miles on the car a day easy.
Yeah, that's yeah, he's supposed to be doing that on the road. So, go on and get you a little Camry or something. And leave that Rolls up for special occasions. Married to the Medicine, just real quick, you know.
Can I just say something?
I said the again. Married to the Medicine.
Can I just say something?
Yes, dear.
I need people to stop blaming the accountant when they back on their taxes.
Yeah. That happened to Married to the Medicine.
So one of the ladies, one of the couples,
170 racks.
Which is.
How
let me say
not
this.
Already have a lien
3 years.
Filed against
nah,
you?
Let me say this. That is not. It's a lot of money. I'm not saying it's not a lot of
right.
money. It is not something that a physician can't climb out of.
Right.
But see, the thing about him, that's the interesting about him. He's a doctor, but he's an emergency room doctor, which means he's making a good living, but he doesn't have his own practice.
Yes.
So he's making probably $250 a year, which is, you know, which is great, $300 a year. But that's kind of, that emergency room thing, you're kind of capped. You're not going to get to the millions.
But what I'm saying
is. Which is why he always got a side business.
He hasn't. That's what I was going to say. He has options for multiple streams of income.
True.
Right?
True,
and,
true.
And so it is something that you can climb out of. But what I don't like is the tone of, well, we fired the accountant.
Yeah.
Okay? The accountant does one or two things. Either he pays the taxes because they said they're giving him power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, you would have given him power of attorney for your taxes
yeah, so
to
you
speak
can pay
on
it.
Your behalf.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, don't make it seem like you just gave him, you granted him complete power of attorney and dude just fucked y'all
yeah,
out of not
yeah,
paying
yeah,
y'all
yeah.
taxes.
It was different
right.
in your
like,
bank account
like,
and shit.
Like, listen, shit happens. People go through financial stresses. You go through financial strains. Maybe shit was tight for a year or two.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, again, when you have a career, you feel like, okay, we can, things will pick up. You know,
yeah.
I got
right.
this on the way. I got that on the way.
Yeah.
We'll be good.
We'll
get right. back.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. We
yeah.
don't need to completely back out of our lifestyle
yeah.
right now. Like, I can figure this out. But, like, to go on TV and say that, man, it's just, and not only is it whack, like, it's just straight up irresponsible, man.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
it's just straight up, like, it's corny to me because either you had money in a tax account that didn't get paid. So if it didn't get paid, that means to tell me you didn't sit down with your accountant and notice that there was an extra $50,000
yeah.
in an account that
yeah.
wasn't paid out or
yeah.
you didn't, and when you get those notices, that's not the first time.
Yeah.
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 So stop it.
Yeah, in the little bit that they said about it, it sounded like they were, oh boy, her husband said they hadn't paid taxes in 3 years.
Mm.
And she said that she had like basically let him deal with the fuck because she don't do shit but spend like
right.
like they got billions
right
so she's spending and forcing
let me
him
guess
to go
is this Mariah
no this is Toya
oh, okay
so they you know they living in this another again a massive house that
right.
they and there's only four of them she got the new Porsche and all these bags and shit and he I think what happened was he was underwater and they tell her.
That's,
she's
that's,
like,
that's,
I just, I, because I don't, because she beat me in the head to keep this lifestyle up, so I ain't going to tell her that.
That's think, very, that's,
right.
that's something
yeah.
that could, that's something that could have very well happened,
mm-hmm.
right? But then to me, like, you know, like at a certain point, man, like, where do you draw the
yeah,
line?
Yeah, you got to say, hey, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't saying, all right, look, we ain't got to take the kids out of school, but that Porsche, we going to need
yeah,
to,
we gotta,
got
we
to
take
go
that
back.
Back. We
you know
that
what
back.
I'm saying? That ain't going to work out.
Yeah, we got
to you know, I'm going to need you to not have this season's Chanel line.
Yeah, exactly.
For everything.
You good. Like,
yeah,
relax.
Just sit tight, killer.
Relax.
You know what I'm saying?
What I want to talk about next is I'm going to let Sean talk for a minute, actually, about the National
Museum. The museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Jordan and I went down in November 9th, we got tickets. So we went down to the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And it was phenomenal, right? Like, it was it was pretty much everything you would have expected.
So I guess first, Because we all know that the tickets have been so hard to come across. And I had I had tickets for October, but it was at the end of a long travel week, so I didn't go. First, tell us, like, just what the experience was in terms of, like, getting, how long it took you to get in and all that type of
stuff. It was actually a bit of a breeze. Jordan and I got, we took the train that morning, so we got down, had lunch, and we had tickets for 2 p.m., so we were done with lunch probably around 1. And
there's two different lines, right? One for if you have a time ticket and one for if you don't. That's what I
did. I didn't see that. I just know that I had the ticket,
right.
And maybe I just walked up to the right corridor,
okay.
Because I walked right in. I got there a little earlier,
right.
Spoke to the young lady. She told me it wasn't going to be a big to-do, so okay. We went inside a little early. And I think we've talked and mentioned before how you sort of start
underground. Yeah, you start at the bottom and you come up to represent, like, the rise of us.
Yes.
People.
So, unfortunately, when we got in, it was about a 40-minute wait for that line to
right.
start at the bottom, which was a little too much for us. So, we actually started at the top.
Okay.
And sort of worked our way down. The museum, I will say, the museum closes at 5:30,
which is pretty early,
because I was all set for 7. Like, I had timed everything for 7 o'clock. I thought that would be more than enough time for us to do things. And that's about what time we would have finished had we kept our pace and finished the museum.
Right, right, right.
It's roughly, it's about 6 floors
okay.
of activities
mm-hmm.
and exhibits. And it takes about an hour for each floor. Yeah.
So, what did you see? Anything in particular that really was like that really called out to you? That moved you? That shook you? Stuck with you? Or did Jordan?
Jordan, definitely. She loved the music and entertainment stuff.
Right.
Right. Like she was just in awe of the mothership.
Right.
The P-Funk mothership is there, and then I believe that is the actual ship, like not a recreation.
Right, because right,
it looks old.
Yeah.
It has scratches and things on it like that. So she really loved that. We definitely, it was a little chilling to sort of go into one of the cabins. They had like one of the cabins. So, you know, we're having this conversation and we go in and it's like this is where a family
would have
lived.
Yeah, all family. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and so there's a sense of perspective that it gave her because she was kind of like, wow, this is like the size of our playroom.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And so it was good to see that. We had a lot of, conversations in and out about certain exhibits and certain things. It was... I will say also, too, what was really chilling was I didn't realize there were so many Medal of Honors given out. And they had basically traced Medal of Honors from the Civil War all the way to Vietnam.
Congressional Medal of Honors?
Yeah.
And these are all, like, donated Medal of Honors from families
Well, they had the pictures of those people who, the men who were given the Medal of Honors, they had the pictures of.
Okay.
There was one actual Medal of Honor there.
Oh, okay.
There was
okay.
a man who was awarded a Purple Heart and a Medal of Honor. And his
and he
family,
donated it.
His family, he passed away. His family donated.
Okay.
And one of the things that's really cool is, like, in this sort of angled way, there's a window there that faces Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you...
There's a lot of subtle details
that you really appreciate from the design. There were really two things that sort of... I don't want to say bothered me, because I really wasn't bothered, but, like, I really would love to see people sort of enjoy the process of the museum.
Yeah, you told me
And not necessarily use it as a filming
yeah
time.
But you see, that's the thing, everybody now we talk about this all the time with everything, but everything now is so social media driven that I think a lot of us are going down there taking pictures to say we were there,
yeah,
right,
as opposed
right.
to really sponging in what it is. I'm not saying don't take pictures, of course take pictures,
yeah.
and post them, but I think a lot of people are going, you know, like with everything, people go to concerts like we talked earlier and hold their phone up the whole time at the show, or people go to, you know, whatever event and it's just, you're just taking pictures at a party the whole night, you're not really enjoying the party, you're
right.
just taking
exactly.
pictures the whole night. So I could see that, I could totally see that happening at the museum, because it's kind of a almost status symbol in a way that you went.
Yeah.
You know, so people are like, you know, I get it.
So, and then, you know, so that became a big, that just became it was an annoying part of the museum.
Right.
One of the things, too, I would say is also just sort of pay attention as you come out of the elevators or go into the museum, because the flow can take you a little off on most of these. There's a progression. There's like a clockwise sort of timeline that you're supposed to follow, and it can get a little awkward. So sometimes if you're not, you know, sort of going this wall to that wall, then this wall, it doesn't really go circular.
Okay.
To some degree, so sometimes you know you could be in one stage here and then another stage there. So,
I got you. Now, was there anything that you was kind of like, okay, what was the thing that kind of was the most overwhelming thing you saw? That was something that you was just like, wow. I mean, I'm sure there's a few, but
One of the things that they had was
that was what I asked when he was in the bathroom.
Yeah, but also was there was something else. There was Thomas Jefferson there, and they had a statue of him, and it really sort of talked about sort of this weird hypocrisy of, you know, obviously him, you know, being a slave master, a slave owner.
And having slave children.
There were like, he had about 600 slaves.
Old slaves.
From, you know, over the course of his life.
Oh, I know what you're about to say.
And then they had the bricks. Like the bricks, it wasn't 600 bricks. I think it might have been about 60 bricks or something like that. But they had the names of the slaves who were on, you know, they were, and Sally is on that. And so what was jarring is I'm now talking to my 13-year-old who is, she also asked me, because when we saw the slave ship, the way it was printed out, it was men, boys and women, and she asked me where would the girls be, and I was like, that you wouldn't have been considered a girl, you would have been a woman.
At nine, at twelve, you
would have been considered a woman. You would be, and you know, and then we started to get into the whole, so were the slave masters, they were just able to come in at any time and do, and so we had that conversation right there in front of Thomas Jefferson. And telling her that, you know, this is what would happen, and that his children took on, the reason that you took on the status of your mother was because so many free white men were having children with slaves that they, if they had to take the status of their father, they might be free.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, of course, they gave it to the mom. So, you know, just having these sort of intricate, you know, sort of detailed conversations were really, really interesting. The segregation part started to get interesting, and then we got up to around sort of the Black Power movement. You know, she and I, this is something that's sort of a constant in our home. And
you're at talking that time, about that?
Oh yeah, so the Black Power movement, that's not like new
not
to her.
Right.
That's not foreign to her at all. Like, we've sat down and watched the Angela Davis documentaries, all that sort of stuff. So that wasn't foreign. And at that point, it was about 5:25.
You said it closed. So it
was time. Yes, it was like time to leave. So I wasn't complete. I would have loved to spend the next maybe 40 minutes going through that, and we would have totally done everything. But I wasn't really mad at that. Well, one thing they're doing as well, they hadn't really finished, was the Pullman's cars. So it looks like they have a train sort of set up, designed for you to sort of get a real aspect. And they hadn't really finished that part of the exhibit. But that was another thing we talked about. We talked about labor unions and all of those sorts of things. A. Philip Randolph. And so, you know, there was a lot of what I saw from her was all she kept saying was, I have so many more project ideas. Because they're often, you know, they're sort of, you know, they go to do their projects, and it's Harriet Tubman and
the basics.
So I've always sort of drilled on her about finding somebody different, finding someone new. Like,
so now she has
a ton of, and she was actually taking notes. Like, wow. I would look over to her phone, and I'm thinking she's texting. And
she's writing notes.
She was in her notepad, and she was taking names down and stuff like that.
So now you, did you talk about Miss Jenkins and them?
Well, okay. So when y'all go, there's another thing too. Wear comfortable shoes, right? And then two. Okay, our everything you love about our folks is happening in that
museum. And everything you hate about our folks,
yo,
is happening in that museum.
Uncle Jerry. You know, Miss Irma.
Uncle Hollywood.
Yeah. All of them are there.
Got their Bluetooth.
Then
on?
You got Bluetooth. Hold on now. Bluetooth satin bombers.
Of course.
Right?
And taking pictures with the iPad.
There's so many wheelchairs. Yo, but it'd be like the person in the wheelchair be like 70. And the person pushing them be like 67.
So they moving slow.
So they moving wow, slow.
Exactly. Like sisters.
This is my baby sister.
Yeah.
Yo, it was so much of that, man. It was just, you know, but they actually did a really good job too in sports. And I don't think that we really sort of understood, me and Jordan also talked about this, was the business end of how the Negro Leagues were basically drained of resources when they called Jackie Robinson up, right? So while it was this great thing, I had to then explain how this affected black businesses, right? Like, and what did that mean, and what did that mean with integration and all of that sort of stuff. So we had a really great time sort of having these discussions and seeing these things. I mean, and like I said before with the music stuff, she was kind of in heaven. She was just, oh my God. She was like, what kind of guitar was that? All the best guitars are Gibsons. That's why I got to give me a Gibson. And she was just so geeked about all of that
stuff.
And
he was like, do you have Gibson money?
Pretty much. No.
Gibson money?
Dead ass, B. Dead ass. Facts.
So, I mean, I can't wait to go. I'm scheduled to go on December 20. It's going to be pretty cold by that point, but, I mean, I just can't wait to see it. You know, and...
Oh, you going Christmas week? Oh, it's going to be cracking.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be cracking.
Ooh. Yeah. Because you know now that you got all the down south people coming up.
Yeah.
Stay on the bus.
On the bus.
With some chicken.
Yeah. We leaving church tomorrow at 5:30.
And some pound cake.
We probably pull
in around 2, get our rooms, and then meet up with the other church.
Yeah, meet up with the sister church. Yes, sir.
And then we all going to go tomorrow morning. Praise the Lord.
After you say a word of prayer.
The gift, oh my God.
Shop must have been crazy.
The gift shop? Bruh.
Crack.
The gift shop was the blackest shit ever. Because everybody, I ain't paying no $30 for that.
What?
They got to be crazy.
They got to be crazy. Yo,
they going down buying it on the corner.
Yo, it was
They had them t-shirts outside for $5.
You know, like, people was buying stuff, but you could definitely see people picking it up, like, looking at it like, what?
How much?
You know what this reminds me of? And this is not a knock to our people at all, but, you know, it still happens. As we start having, you know, every season there's, like, the one really black Broadway play. So, like, been Raisin, it's been Color Purple, it's been Fences, Cow and the Hot Tin Roof. Mm. You know, there's always, like, the really black play. Mm. And when you go to it, you see people there who don't traditionally do Broadway theater.
Mm-hmm.
They do
Chitlin'
Circus theater.
Tyler Perry.
Yeah. And at those plays, you are expected to do call back and response and have a reaction. So, I'd be up in the Broadway theater looking at these niggas like,
really?
But I've tried not to because I get it. Like, you know, it's cultural expansion. I'm not going to really knock it.
But it's like, you know, you're not supposed to be talking to Puffy on this.
You know,
stage.
Right. Yes, exactly. Or like, you know, you're not actually supposed to be making all that noise with your food. You know, you're actually not supposed to have your camera up and out trying to take pictures or your ringer on. Like, there's all those kinds of little things
that we do.
And that reminds me of that because how many of them are going to, like, genuine, like, it's a Smithsonian Museum. Like, you go to, like, the Met or something like that.
The that's the other thing.
Them gift shops ain't cheap.
Well, no.
But if you know that, you know that. Yeah. So
the other thing, too, was it was super loud.
Yeah.
It was really loud. And they're parts of the exhibits that have a lot of video footage that you actually want to hear.
And you can't.
Because
Charles them.
Because Charles
was Reggie, on. Because Bernard was on FaceTime.
Exactly. Yo, my man was on FaceTime in the museum. And bro, like, he's walking up to the exhibit. And when I say walking up.
Right up.
So in a museum, I've been to a couple. I'm not super sadiddy, right?
But
you don't walk up to the exhibit. Dude, it was to the point where one time I had to look at a dude like, yo,
like,
bruh.
About to break that.
No, and fam, he's like taking a picture. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to let him get the picture. But then the camera's not working. Right. I'm like, yo, like, all right, bro. Like, yeah, how many? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, fix your fucking camera and get the moving. Like, it ain't like you little. Like, things like 6'8", like 310 pounds.
Taking up all the
space. Out of the way, bro. Like, it was just no. There was so many times where it was no comprehension of the people around you, like in your sort of elbow space. It was just like, yo, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But I get, you know, I wasn't mad
it's
because
it's our people, but they were
excited.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between, you know, being dismissive of people's space and so excited of what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. So that's why I didn't like OD.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a lot.
They have
a studio part, right? So I'm thinking,
recording studio.
Well, they have a place where you can. So there's like a holo section, like with like the producers gambling.
Okay.
There's a little thing where you can sort of do. It's like touch screen. It's not really a studio, but you can do stuff. So I'm thinking, okay, Jordan would love that, right? But you know, Lil Duquan, he over there.
Yeah, he's trying to make beats
and ain't moving.
Ain't moving.
Yeah. Mama ain't telling him to move. He done been there about 15 minutes.
We paid our money.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just like, okay.
Yeah, could you climb like in somebody else's place?
It's about five other kids over here all twiddling their thumbs. They would love to get on.
Right.
But I was like, all right, you know, we'll go somewhere. Yeah, so.
So, I mean, you know, we love our people. But sometimes it'd be.
And it's totally worth it. And it's definitely something you should be prepared to have conversations in the moment.
Okay.
If you can, do not, if you have children with you, have those conversations.
Right on the spot.
Right when they are asking those questions, when their brains are ready to retain and accept the information.
Right.
Try not to hold it off. There are going to be some difficult conversations. There are going to be some harsh conversations. Use harsh words. Mm-hmm. They do as well.
Right.
They are not sugarcoating shit in that museum at all. So don't do it with your kids.
Okay, cool.
That's good intel.
Last thing I wanted to mention, just real quick, just real light, easy. I want to mention this documentary I watched on Ben Simmons, who was the number one draft pick of the Philadelphia 76ers this year. Mm-hmm. It's called One and Done. And it's very interesting because the gist of it is obviously his journey. He's from Australia.
Okay.
But he came over to the States to play ball. I guess as a junior in high school, and then obviously stayed here and went to college for 1 year at LSU. but it's very interesting because the documentary is really about him really like bucking the NCAA. So he's like, he picks going to, everybody wondered why he picked to go to LSU. It might have been some under the table stuff that happened. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It'll show that in the documentary, of course. But his father played ball in Australia. His father's from the Bronx, a black guy, who now has an Australian accent. And I'm like, my nigga, you're from the Bronx. Like,
right.
Ben, who was born there, don't even have an accent, barely.
Right.
But your ass is like, good day. And I'm like, my nigga,
you're from the... It's like Madonna and her damn European accent.
Lindsay Lohan. It's like, sure, you're from the projects.
Right,
like, stop it.
Right.
But that's a sidebar.
Right.
So he went to Australia to play, you know, pro ball over there. He met this woman, white woman, who had four kids when he met her.
Mm-hmm.
Married her anyway, and then they had two more.
Right.
So Ben's oldest brother, this is a straight white.
Mm.
Right, and then he has it's him and his sister. So then Ben, you know, he's a prodigy, he plays ball. So he comes over here, and his godfather, who played ball with his dad, was a coach at LSU.
Okay,
that's why he picked LSU, because he could have went to any college. He went to Duke or North Carolina, anywhere. And everybody said, "What the hell did he go to LSU for? They're not even that good." And that's why. So anyway, but he's when he gets to college, it shows, like, first of all, how much they're practicing.
Right.
How much he's pulled at. Like, he can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Obviously, plus he's tall, so he's noticeable.
Right.
He can't do shit. Like, he's like, every time he try, they show him one time, try to go to something at LSU, like a, something they have, like a little outdoor field there or whatever. And, like, literally every step, it's like, can I get a picture?
Wow.
Can I get a picture? He's just like, and he's gracious, but he's just like,
yo,
Jesus Christ. I just want to be like, for one day, I just want to be a regular student. Like, y'all, like, I just want to come and have a good time like y'all are.
Right.
Y'all are making your good time about me.
Right.
And
right,
I'm not having no fun. I know, bro, I got the look on his face, but.
He like, but yeah, anyway, he don't really.
Let me finish this shit before you go ham. But then he also, and that's probably going to make bro upset too, but then he's like, I ain't going to class. So he basically does the bare minimum the first semester, because mm-hmm. after the first semester,
you don't gotta go
no more. He stops going to class. Like, he's like, I'm not going to class. I'm not graduating from here. Like, right. I came here to get in the MBA, and I have to go to college for 1 year by law. But I'm not gonna go to class. I'm not interested in school. Right. I'm not gonna front like I'm a student athlete. And he's like, yo, meanwhile, you know, we heard this argument before. Like, every time I turn around, there's another jersey with my name on it being sold.
Right.
There's another, you know, I'm selling all these games, you know, I'm taking all these pictures, I'm doing all these interviews, you know, representing the school, but I can't go to even, like, you know, Arby's.
Right.
Because his family all moved over here. His sister became, like, his marketing person and ended up steering him to Rich Paul, LeBron's people. Mm-hmm. Rich Paul's in the documentary, too. She worked for Rich Paul because, as a marketing person, they probably hired her to get bad.
Oh, right.
But they don't say that in the movie.
It's okay. It's okay. It's cool. No shots. So
but you know, they show all the other agents come back, the Nike people and the Adidas people, and all the other agents are coming at him too. But obviously, he ends up there because of his sister. But he's just like, yo. Well, I remember there's a part where, like, his sister, like, bought him something, and he was like, yo, was that legal? And it was like some bullshit, like some medicine from the drugstore.
Right, right.
Like some dumb shit.
But because she works for an agent, he was...
Exactly. So he's like, this is bullshit. Like, I can't do shit. I can't make no money. Yeah. You know, and meanwhile, like, the NCAA is making not millions, but billions.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA is notorious for that. They have these ridiculous rules. Like, I remember one time, I think it might have been Billy Owens who had got suspended.
It was Billy Owens. I remember that.
For a couple of games because, like, Derek Coleman gave him $500 for his pocket to go on a Hawaii trip, and they had been teammates.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not, it just wasn't like an agent. I mean, there was no context to any of this. But, you know, my only issue with Simmons, I haven't watched the documentary and I will, but my only issue with Simmons and sort of kids like that is like, I get it, right? Like, you want to be one of the kids on campus, right? But don't say you want to be a regular student, right? Because you don't want to be a regular student.
Right.
Like, those other kids, they don't really have the option to not go to class.
To make millions of dollars, at 19 years old.
And it's okay. It's okay for you to be upset with the situation and the circumstances. It's okay for you to feel a little resentful, or a lot resentful. I understand all of that.
Right.
But don't use the "I just want to be a regular kid" card when shit becomes inconvenient for you.
Right.
But then use all of the "I'm a superstar athlete" card when you need to get shit that you want to get.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm like. That's don't fair. Do that.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
But it's just very interesting. You know, you see the whole process of, like, who he's going to sign with Nike or Adidas, and they have the big meetings, and he goes to that and stuff. And then, you know, obviously they show him the show ends with him being drafted, so you don't see anything about the pros. And his sister, who's a little bit older than him, she was diagnosed with bipolar.
Oh,
so she's tripping because she's like, because they're dumb close, and he's like, so she's still in they in Orlando where the family is staying, and obviously he's in Baton Rouge,
right?
And then Philly at the end, because that's where he got drafted, and she's like starting to go through episodes because she's like, it's interesting, like something you don't think about. She's like, my life isn't together. And then I look at you, and you're like, you know, playing pro ball, making money, you're going to the NBA, you got these contracts, and everybody's, you know, doing all this stuff. And I'm here in Orlando in this apartment, and I have nothing. I mean, she's fine. She wasn't going to be like on the street, but she's just like, what am I doing? Like, her whole life basically was kind of him. You know, like, she was his sounding board. But now that he's growing up, she had no purpose. So it was a lot of layers to the shit. So it was a good documentary. Like I said, it was good. So I don't want to tell no more because you know all these other parts almost spoil it. But I highly recommend it. And I think that's it, man. Is there anything else we need to discuss tonight?
Insecure last weekend. I'm really disappointed in Issa.
Oh, yeah.
She felt some bullshit.
And your man Lawrence stands strong.
I turned the channel. I call it like the end of it.
You got to start from A because you got to see the arc.
I was like, oh, they get ready. Get down.
You got to watch it.
You got to watch the whole arc.
You got to watch the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I got the gist of it.
I know, but you got to watch everything that happened on both sides. Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? Yeah. Somebody, my man Sydney at the job, he said something interesting about the show, and we'll see if it keeps going in this way. Mm-hmm. But he said, this is the first show that, I'm black anyway, I don't know about the white shows, but the first black show where all the dudes are basically good guys.
Or trying to be.
Yeah, and the women are not bad people.
But they're trying to figure it out.
And the dudes are, like, not assholes. The stuff that Issa did was what you would, in a regular show, he would have did.
That's about, I hadn't thought about that. That's a valid
point. Well, I actually, even though I only watched a little bit of it, I actually liked that scene. Like, I actually liked, I like to see women making because women make those decisions.
Yes, yeah. And it's okay.
The game is real.
But here's why I was disappointed in Issa. I'm disappointed in Issa because Issa got conflicted, but she made a choice.
Yes.
She made a choice.
She went back.
She made a choice, and they made a choice together, right? Yep. Like, they're supposed to be in the, like, we in this, we working this out.
And then
she couldn't let go of this nigga. And we all have that dude. Like, I think men think they're the only ones who have it with women, but we do all have that dude where it's like really hard to kind of like let go.
Yeah.
And she said it. He was her what if dude. He was the dude that she always wondered, like, what if we had really hooked up? What if we had gotten together? And you can impose a lot of ideological shit on the what if person, right? Because you can imagine all kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be like this.
And
he really gets me. I rap and he really understands. You know, like, it's all that shit. But, like, shorty, in the studio?
In the studio.
On the couch? Word. The disgusting ass raw in the studio?
It was raw in the studio. Like, and then, first of all, Issa kind of banging. But more importantly, like, and until she looked at the lotion dispenser,
and remember,
she was good money.
Yeah, like she was still, she was happy.
Just like, hey, I fucked the shit out of this nigga. This nigga's knocked out.
She like, was like,
and she about to go home. Like,
and she was
like,
on some shit. Like, finally, I don't even think she was thinking about going home. I think she forgot all about home.
No, she was
home.
She was chilling.
I think she was just in the moment.
I can tell you this because like in a couple episodes earlier when they had made up and they were doing good.
They were shopping for a couch.
And they saw this couple in there, and the it was a white couple, and the guy wanted to buy a lotion dispenser, and the woman, his wife, was like,
"The lotion already has a pump. Why do you need another pump?"
Yeah. And he looks at her, he's like, "I hate you." And so then Lawrence and Issa are like, "Is that going to be us in a few years?" And then Issa says, "I'll always let you buy a lotion dispenser." It's like a little joke they have.
Yeah.
So that was why when she looked at the dispenser after they fucked, she got like shocked back.
And so yeah, I know when you went home, like you said, blaze raw. You had been in the studio all night. Like, I know, like, you smelled.
That's what I was gonna say.
Horrible.
Also,
you smelled like,
you know me,
weed,
I gotta take it too far. Not only did they blaze raw, but I kind of got the gist. They blazed for a while. Like, they fuck. They wasn't like, oh, quick, man. They was fucking. Yeah. Fucking like they
on
fuck
the
fuck.
Couch in the studio, you know what I'm though.
Yeah, it wasn't
oh,
no quick
God.
Shit like in the
studio.
Yeah, on the couch.
Studio love.
Because like,
your nigga was knocked out.
I know,
afterwards.
But she really fell for the yo. Come to through the studio with me. Yo,
give
I mean, what
ride.
You think?
Just
yo,
chill, have
stay.
A drink.
Yeah, yeah, say
exactly
why you leave? Because she tried to leave.
She tried to leave.
He was like, nah, hang out. So I think the thing that I have to remember is that the characters, like, Issa's character is supposed to be 29. So I suppose that Molly's is supposed to be the same.
Yeah, about the same.
But because the actresses are in their mid-30s, and to me they present as mid-30s.
I kind of forget.
But that was some 29-year-old shit, because I was kind of like, really? And then I was like, oh, wait, she's supposed to be 29. Yeah. Okay, maybe.
So
but
that's
I was
the
just
question
like,
before we, you know, so yeah. What did you think about the whole thing with Molly and, Jadenna? Jadenna's actually doing good. Good actor, yeah.
So, we all know a Molly. A lot of us have been a Molly. I was guilty of being a Molly in my early 20s. Like, when I was around 24, I was Molly. Like, after a couple of dates with a dude, I was like,
"What's good?"
No. And I mean, but maybe I might not show it to him. But with my girls, I'd be like, yo, he does this, he's got that, look how we look together, and he's this, and he went to school here, and blah, blah, blah. And I'd be, like, putting shit together in my head. Like, I'd be on it before even really getting to know him because he checks some boxes.
Mm.
And that's where Molly is right now, right? Like, she don't know, dude. But yeah. She's just like, this could be a thing. And, I mean, it takes a minute to get past that. She's clearly looking for something, and she's trying to figure it out.
She wants a man.
And also, like, she's an attorney, and yeah, apparently in kind of, like, a high power.
Yeah, she's making
company.
Good money.
So she kind of also wants, like, somebody who matches her shit, you know? And I think that was her problem with Homeboy. It's hard sometimes to be the advanced degree high-level professional and let yourself understand that it's okay for the person who you're dating to not be the same, like, have the same kind of career.
As long as they treat you proper.
As long as they're treating you proper, as long as you guys can, like, be partners, like, you shouldn't be supporting some other motherfucker. But you know what I mean? As long as you guys can come together and have equal interests and enjoy each other.
So let me ask a question as a woman. Mm-hmm. When Jadena showed up at the party.
Yes.
Because he's a nice guy. Because most niggas would have not come.
Yeah, because he gave all the clues that were like, I'm not really trying to work.
You should just go ahead.
He was like, I don't want to hold you up.
So he came, which was, like, again, most dudes would not have done whatever. Right. And then said he was a boyfriend when he wasn't, like, so he didn't play her out.
Yeah.
But then when they had the conversation and he basically was like, you know, shorty, like, we're just getting to know each other. You're doing way too much. Why did she tell him to leave?
It was a couple things.
Embarrassment?
It was first and foremost embarrassment. It actually was embarrassment. And I think also, like, he pulled her card. She hadn't even admitted it to herself, right? Like, she started to correct you. Like, had that been me, this actually happened to me. I was with somebody and we were further along than, like, Molly and Jadena were. Like, we were at a place where, for all intents and purposes, I felt like we should have had a title. He wasn't yet comfortable with giving it a title. Mm-hmm. It was limbo for him. It wasn't limbo for me. But I was like, fine, we'll just rock out. And we went somewhere, and a friend of my mom's came over and introduced me. He was like, oh, is this your boyfriend? I was like, no, it's a friend. Like, I jumped in and I was like, no, he's a friend. And it was cool, right? Like, I just cut it off. I didn't want to let it hang in the air or do another thing. So, like, when the guy reached, because she started to correct the guy, and Jadena was like, yeah, I would have been like, nah, we... different.
Yeah.
Like, I would have just.
But she had already told the people at the job about him. Because they was like, is this Chris? It was like, damn, like, you done told the half the job about this dude
It happens. I know.
2 weeks, a week and a half.
I know Molly's. But see, Molly's not going to change until Molly, you know, figures out herself. Because the thing is that it's not about the dude. It's about the potential of the dude.
Yeah.
It actually ain't about Jadena. She could sub Jadena out for one of these other niggas she'd been on a date
on with. That,
you know what I mean?
But
it's about the potential of the dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we love the show. We'll definitely talk about it each week. We probably don't have too many episodes, more episodes of that show left, actually. Probably about three or four, maybe.
Also, shout out to... have you watched Westworld yet?
Still haven't watched it. I got it on the DVR.
Okay, good. Watch it in a binge. Because people who have been watching it week by week are annoyed with it. I watched it in a binge and I love it.
That's dope. Okay, cool. All right, y'all. We're going to get up out of here and we will see y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.